WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, everyone, to WVUA 90.7 The Capstones NBA Student Section. We're back. I'm your host, Zachary Elrod. Here with me, as always, Trey Simpson and Drew Williamson. We got a great show for y'all today. Today, we're going to talk about the Olympics, give y'all a little recap of Team USA's taking home the gold, and then we're going to be introducing a new series, the NBA Team Breakdown. Basically, we're going by division, so today we'll be starting with the Atlantic Division, with Boston, the Knicks, Sixers, Raptors, and Nets. So we're just going to be breaking it down. We're just going to be talking about things that they did last season, things that we don't or do not like from that. Then we're going to be breaking down the playoffs, talk about some off-season moves, trades, free agency, stuff they did in the draft. But yeah, that's basically what we're going to be doing, giving our takes on that, see what we do or do not like. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, how are y'all feeling? We're back.
It's good. Man, it's good to be back, man. What's up? How y'all doing?
Great to be back. I missed doing the show, especially over the summer, you know, seeing all the, like, how the NBA playoffs, you know, unfolded, and we didn't even get to talk about it. We texted about it, but we didn't get to talk about it, mm-hmm. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, but let's start things off. I mean, Olympic recap, Team USA taking home the gold. I mean, it was just so entertaining from each and every game, whether it was, I mean, I'll be honest, going into it, starting off in the group stages with Serbia, I remember thinking of Jokic, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and then, like, just the other guys they have on that Serbian team, I was like, we're starting off pretty hot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if we got to consider who is the best team out there in the world, I mean, Serbia is one of those people on that list. So
I think Team USA, like, always going into an Olympics always has that pressure, mm-hmm. of, you know, they have to win because, you know, we've been so dominant for, you know, such a long period of time. But this specific Olympics was just so special because of so many different reasons. Obviously, you have LeBron, at 39, doing what he did. The trio of LeBron, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant all playing for probably the last time. I don't know.
Kevin Durant says
about
he might come
Kevin
back.
Durant. He yeah. might, but just seeing how the veterans were able to lead and guide some of the mm-hmm. younger guys like Anthony Edwards on that squad was something that was out of this world. And mm-hmm. it was, to me, more entertaining than the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I would agree. I would easily agree.
You know, I'm surprised y'all haven't brought up Team Canada.
Oh, yeah, Team Canada.
Because, like, I didn't hear Shea's name, RJ Barrett, even Dylan Brooks, you know, Dylan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was one more in there I can't think of. But they were a good team, too. I honestly thought they were going to be the ones in there against Team USA in the
Me
finals
too.
Game.
But then it came down to Jamal Murray not really being consistent. I mean, I think I saw Shea post on his Instagram at one point. I don't know if he took it down, but he was just like, he said something about how Jamal doesn't come out to play when he doesn't play with the Joker or something like that. And I was like, dang. But goes, I mean, he's, you know.
I mean, yeah, it goes to show you what all, you know, Nikola, obviously we know how, what a player Nikola Jokic is, but it kind of goes to show you, like, would these guys like Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr., like, would they be, you know,
as good as they are
without Jokic?
It's people like big, Aaron Gordon, too.
Absolutely.
Just like, yeah. I mean, you, I agree. Yep. But, I mean, going down the line, we beat South Sudan, and we ended up beating Puerto Rico, Brazil. I mean, those games were really the cakewalk, but it came down to really Serbia, and then obviously in the final, France. France was the big team. I mean, the best team besides us in the world.
Outside of that France game, because I will talk about that, but that last, I believe, 8 to 10 minutes of the Serbia game was, like, some of the best basketball I've ever watched in my entire life. Because mm-hmm. we were down, I think, like, 17 in the third
at
quarter.
At one point, yep. Yep, I
and
remember that.
I remember watching that game, and we made that heroic comeback. I think the lineup was, like, it was Steph, LeBron, KD, Booker, and I want to say Joel Embiid. And they just –
they kept starting Joel Embiid for –
they just balled. And a lot of people, you know, was a lot of criticism and a lot of drama around Steve Kerr and his – decision-making on starting certain players.
Especially
and
with Jason Tatum.
Exactly. We saw how that unfolded. But, I mean, they won gold, so I don't really think they can have that much hate.
Mm-mm.
For the next Olympics, Coach Spo is going to be their head coach.
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
Miami Heat.
Oh, wow.
Assistant coach, you know, for the last couple. But
you can't go wrong with either or. I mean, you Eric really Spoelstra, great head
Spo
coach.
Spo is an unbelievable head coach.
Has led a lacking Heat team to the finals twice in the last couple of years, once in the bubble, and then last NBA finals. I mean, well, not this one, but the one before. But, yeah, Eric Spoelstra, great head coach. I think great pickup talent. Tyronn Lue was another assistant coach. So it's just like, I mean, when people question their head coaching, it's just like, I don't know. When you're not there, you're not obviously the one coaching them. And you really can't go wrong with those lineups because just so much talent on that roster. And, I mean, I think the way they really piece this team together was just spot on.
I agree. I think Steve Kerr going in was determined that he was gonna play the guys that have been there the longest. And, you know, Jason Tatum, obviously there was a lot of controversy there.
Oh, yeah.
About him not getting play. You know, he just won a championship. Why is he not getting minutes? He feels like he's one of the best players in the league. But at the end of the day, Steve Kerr went with experience and the veterans, and it, you know, it paid off. So
I still say give Tatum the respect he's earned, though, because he did just win a championship.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
And he put on for that NBA Finals because normally Jason Tatum's been a little shaky,
yeah,
especially come playoff time. But, I mean, he put on for those NBA Finals.
But granted, Jaylen Brown did establish himself as probably the alpha of that team.
I remember coming into it, I was just like, JB's the number one. And everybody's like, no. But after, like you said, Trey, I mean, to your point, have y'all seen his workouts, too, what he's doing in the offseason?
Yeah, in the pool.
He's in the pool, dribbling a ball. I mean.
Yeah, I think he proved a lot of people wrong because a lot of people had, you know, those haters were in there saying, you know, he can't dribble with his left hand, force him to go left. But, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I think that he proved a lot of people wrong in the finals. And I am glad he won finals MVP. I'm not necessarily a. Like Jason Tatum, like I'm, you know, he played amazing too, but I'm glad Jaylen Brown got the respect he deserves.
I think it could have gone a lot of ways. I mean, Porzingis had a big game, 20 points.
Porzingis in game one.
I believe it was game one, yeah. Yeah, but he got hurt. Drew Holiday, I mean, he played phenomenal throughout the entire series. Derek White.
I'm about to say, your boy Derek White was doing his thing in the Olympics and in the finals run because he was a very key part in both with his efforts off the ball.
Gave up his front tooth, I mean, like, for the team. Did y'all see that when chipped his tooth? Really bad, too. And he gave it up for the team, and, I mean, just, yeah.
While we're talking about Jaylen Brown and how much he, you know, did in those finals, it's crazy because a lot of controversy also came from why was he not picked to be on Team USA. Mm-hmm. And his teammates, Drew Holiday, Derek White, and Jason Tatum all were picked over him. There was a lot of, you know, and he just won finals MVP. I didn't necessarily agree with that because I feel like if you're going to pick Derek White, Drew Holiday, which Drew Holiday is kind of like a great two-way player.
I get the understanding that, but like, if you're going to originally pick Kawhi Leonard, a guy like that, a dynamic scorer, he can play both ways, but he's injury prone. Why not pick a guy like JB, Jaylen Brown? So I get what you're saying. But to their credit, to their point, I mean, Derek White, like you said, he's more off the ball, you know, can spread the floor, like, because they got plenty of guys that can handle the rock, do their thing. So I think that's probably where their headspace was. But I don't know. It's just, I feel like, I believe Jaylen Brown could have played more off the ball and could have provided what they had, but they won gold, so, I mean, that was the goal, I mean.
Absolutely. I think that was the most, you know, the most important part was finding that lineup that would, you know, mesh together because it's so hard because these guys don't – they're all unbelievably talented players, but they don't play together every day. So, you know, how they were able to gel – like these other countries that they played, like South Sudan, like Serbia, these guys have played together, you know, all the time for
their
years
entire
and years.
Lives
and,
yeah,
you know, Team USA, it's never like that. It's just a bunch of really talented guys, you know, trying to build chemistry in just a short, you know, couple of months. So I think it was really impressive. And like I said, it was some of the best basketball I've ever watched.
That's why it's so fun to watch those European teams play, because like you said, they played together for so long. They can just read and be able to move without the ball, pass, and just, you know, really work the offense, be able to get back on defense and not be selfish and just put on for their team. So, I don't know. I thought all around just a great, great Olympics. So, y'all got anything else to say about the Olympics? Or
I will say, so you mentioned earlier how the Olympics was more entertaining than the finals. I definitely would agree to that, because – did y'all notice the physicality that was allowed in the Olympics?
They pointed that out too, yeah, because of the FIBA rules. Basketball,
yeah, like the rules were just a little bit different over there. Like it was just allows you to play a little more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And then just the style of basketball the rest of the world plays with too. Everybody plays with the precise kind of more fundamental game versus like us over here in the USA. We all try to Well, not all of us, but, you know, most of us, we try to be flashy.
Yeah.
Doing a little bit more style stuff, like crazy dunks, more threes versus, you know, everybody else. They haven't lost the value of, like, the mid-range post moves, you know, simple give-and-goes, down screens, back screens, simple stuff like that.
I heard one of the assistant coach for the Clippers say, y'all know Rico Hind, like, he's one of the assistant coach for the Clippers, and he was talking about never lose sight of being a good basketball player. And, like, knowing how to perform for your team, play your role, and how important that is, instead of, like, you know, being the main guy doing all these things and wanting to produce stat-wise. But, like, just putting on for your team, because he's saying all the people overseas are just doing what they need to do. If they get an opportunity to shoot, they shoot. No matter what the outcome, they get back and they play their heart outs on defense and they do it over again, over and over and over.
That even goes with off the court stuff too. Like, you know, with Tyrese Halliburton, how he kept his composure and kept a high energy off the court. And every time they came back to the huddle, what is Tyrese Halliburton doing? Giving everybody high fives, you know, cheering everybody on, being the biggest cheerleader for us. And even though he didn't play that much, or if not at all, he still gave us, you know, the energy and the hype we needed.
Even Anthony Edwards towards the end didn't really get as many minutes as he did towards the beginning, which he was able to, you know, show off his skills and in that way. But, like, I remember the quote at the beginning of the season that made me nervous. Remember, he's like, they're going to have to adjust to my play style. And I was like, oh, crap. He's going to be the guy that's just like, everybody, forget everybody else, me. But at the end of the day, I remember seeing him sitting on the sidelines. And like you said, Tyrese Halliburton did. He was right there beside him, high-fiving everyone, clapping for the team. But guys like that, like, to your point, Trey, guys like that were really one of the main core values for that team that would allow them to get the gold medal. Yeah, so
I agree with that. I agree with what you said. Just the brand of basketball is how it's played is just so much different than how it is in the NBA with fouling and all that. And it's just, it's more entertaining to watch. You know, nobody wants to, you know, see constant, you know, foul calling and constant, you know, complaining. There's a lot more complaining in the NBA and flopping. The Olympics are just, you know, it's that's how basketball should be played. So I agree with all that.
It was interesting to see Victor Wembanyama, because, you know, in FIBA it's illegal to, like, while it's in the cylinder, if the ball's rolling around, just swat it out. Because I know everybody, I remember the commentators like Dwayne Wade and I forget his other name, but, like, they would have to specify, it's like, that is legal in FIBA, because everybody was like, I remember people seeing USA fans in the crowd, and they're like, what on earth did he just do? He just slapped that out of the rim.
It's like, you can't do that.
Yeah, it is really interesting to see, like, all the different rules they put in FIBA, but I don't know. I think I agree to y'all's point. I mean, just the physicality overall is just definitely entertaining to watch. And we'll be right back after this short break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, everyone, to the NBA student section. We're back, and we're going to get started with our NBA team breakdown, starting with the Atlantic Division. I think we're going to start it off with, I think, an easy one, y'all. Boston. I mean, let's review their season. I mean, it's a pretty easy season to review. These people were just dominant throughout the entire year. I believe they hit 60 wins, and then everybody, you know, after they made all the trades they made, getting Drew Holiday, getting Porzingis, and being able to keep Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and acquiring Derek White. I mean, after all that, everybody had him instantly as a favorite for the championship. Me, normally when there's like a designated favorite, everybody's like, no way they don't win. Normally, they end up not winning. But this was not the case. They were dominant in the regular season, and that translated perfectly to the playoffs. So, I don't know. They ended up winning the chip, so I don't know if y'all have anything else to say for the season. I mean, y'all can make y'all's comments.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. The additions in the offseason last year, Porzingis and Drew Holiday, everybody kind of was a little iffy on Porzingis to start. They didn't really know how he would fit in their system. I think we all saw how that turned out. He fit in perfectly. Drew Holiday, I feel like, is a guy that can – you can stick him on any team and he will be good. He's one of those kind of players. We saw how dominant they were. When I saw what their starting five was of Holiday, Derek White, Tatum, Brown, and Porzingis,
Al Horford at the time.
And Al Horford too, yeah, a little mix in there. But I knew that they would go far, and I had said that if they did not win a championship this year, it would have been a disappointment.
Oh, extremely.
And it would have been almost like a failure, because that team is way too talented to not be winning a championship. And if they didn't, I think they would have gotten a lot of hate.
And the fact that Boston hasn't won since 2008.
That too. And a lot of people compared that 2008 Celtics team to this current 2024 Celtics team, and kind of was comparing, you know, which was
similar.
Better team. They are very similar. But no, this team was really dominant throughout. There was no even close signs in the playoffs to them slowing down or them hitting a little rough patch, and we saw what happened in the finals. I'm happy for the city of Boston. You know, their fans, we know how loyal they are. They're Celtics finally, after 16 years, got it done.
They finally did it. What about you, Trey?
I mean, y'all pretty much covered it. All I have to say about Boston was, boy, was I wrong. I didn't want them to win the championship. Remember, I was pulling for my Lakers. But,
oh yeah,
you know,
yep.
We'll save them for their time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, congrats to Boston. Like I said, you know, I do like the fact that JB established himself as the one and not the two. Jason Tatum, I guess we're trying to see. I mean, he didn't leave though, so he stayed.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a concern. Remembering the as soon as they won.
Oh, yeah, they re-signed him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, talking about that in the offseason, I mean, they were able to re-sign Sam Hauser, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jason Tatum. And then, I mean, they just got Lonnie Walker in free agency, too. Two
huge.
To top it off. I mean, and Lonnie Walker, I know Trey knows him very well after the Lakers had his moments.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've heard some rumors that he might not even make the team after training camp. I'm not sure if they'll waive him or whatever. But, I mean, either or. I mean, he's a great player. And with this already stacked team like we were just talking about, that's just another cherry on top. Yeah. And they drafted, Baylor Skirmit. You know, the guy out of Sherman Creighton.
Out of Creighton, yeah, who's a deadly three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, to me, there's not a team in the league that can – you know, after every NBA season, at least how I look at it, if you're every team, you're looking at ways like, how can I take them down? You know, they're the defending champs. How can I take them down? And
agreed.
Looking roster to roster at every team right now, I don't think there is a single team that beats Boston in a 7-game series.
It's tough.
I think they, you know, unless injury happens, which that is always a possibility, I think they repeat.
I know people were concerned about how their bench would perform. I mean, Peyton Pritchard had some solid moments. I mean, hitting some half-court shots like it was nothing. I remember watching the games and him not hitting a single shot. And as soon as he would let that half-court shot, I'm like, that is going in. Exactly. I just know it's going to go in. And then he hit it. And then the second time he did it, I was like, that's going to go in again. And then he just that's just what Peyton Pritchard does, though. But then Sam Hauser, a great pickup for him. They instantly re-signed him. I mean, take it as a Duncan Robinson type of guy. I mean, just deadly on the outside, can play off the ball, willing to play defense, willing to make that extra pass for the star. I mean, they got guys. And then Al Horford, I mean, people are wondering if he was going to retire, but willing to come back for another season, hopefully, in his case, to, you know, possibly go back-to-back. So, I mean, this, like, to your point, Drew, I think this is a pretty unstoppable team. So,
yeah, I don't think there's any team right now that competes with Boston and wins a seven-game series. I would have liked to have seen the Nuggets have a try at the Celtics, yep. But obviously it didn't go well as well as they would have liked in the playoffs. That Timberwolves team,
scary.
That was no doubt. But
I'm surprised we made it past them, the Mavericks. I'm surprised. I really am, looking back at that series, even to OKC. But obviously that's a conversation for another day. But, I mean, one team I really want to talk about with y'all is the New York Knicks. Now, this team, special, had a really interesting season last year. I know they had a great season up into the playoffs. I think we're at that fourth or fifth seed in the East, I believe. But the Knicks, great season. They were our Eastern Conference Finals favorites, I believe. Didn't we all have them as our favorites?
Yeah.
I think we did.
I was sure pulling for them for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And then crazy to see that they lost to the Pacers in Game 7, dude. I mean, let's just stop. What are y'all's initial reactions to that? Because I remember mine was, I was just shocked the Pacers pulled it out.
I was hurt, but, like, that just goes to show you anything can happen in the playoffs, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's so unpredictable. And I know, like, it's a lot of talk about the playoffs and just finals in general being rigged, but that type of basketball, it can't be rigged. Like, mm-hmm. That's just the most unpredictable. Because other than Siakam and Halliburton, you know, who does the Pacers have? Like, just big, big name guys. Like,
even Halliburton wasn't really scoring that much.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Man.
It was a great game, but Halliburton wasn't even putting up the numbers he's normally acclimated to putting up because, I don't know, as a primary, you know, playmaker, it was pretty evident to see that, you know, he wasn't really comfortable, at least in that type of setting, with, you know, taking over, getting the ball in his hands, just going out and getting a bucket for his team. Pascal Siakam had to do a lot of the heavy lifting, especially with the injury of Bennedict Mathurin, their young scorer.
And that's why Siakam earned his contract in the offseason. He got, you know, he re-signed.
Mm-hmm.
He got a big pay.
Him and TJ McConnell, who was...
He was huge for them off the bench. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. Looking at the Knicks, I think that Jalen Brunson really came into his own during the season and kind of took on that role of being the guy. And I think he enjoys, you know, he's going to get, you know, 25 shots a game. And the Knicks are going to live with that, you know, if he plays good, he had some crazy games in the playoffs. I think he had multiple 30, 40-point games. That first series with the 76ers was crazy watching those games.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, obviously it was really disappointing for that Pacers series, like the way it ended, because I think, obviously, they didn't have Julius Randle.
Didn't have Julius.
He does tend to not play as well in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have Julius Randle. I would have liked to have seen him healthy and what they would have done if he was healthy. But still disappointing. But I think they are trending in the right direction. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. My only critique from last season, I love the way Tom Thibodeau made him play. I mean, great head coach. I know with their system, giving it all the starters 40-plus minutes, I was skeptical. I'm like, how can this work in seven-game series long-term? I mean, heck, in their season he was doing that, and they have 82-game season. That's what we all know as an NBA fan. So it's like, I know I was really skeptical, but they were able to pull through. All the starters were. But, I mean, I guess my only critique, they need to learn to play without the ball in Jalen Brunson's hands. They can't be so keen on that, because I know Jalen Brunson had a lot of late in-game turnovers late in the fourth quarter, you know, whether he was trapped, miscommunication between whether it was him or Isaiah Hartenstein, whoever it may be, it was a lot of pressure on, you know, Brunson to create every single possession because, you know, guys like Dante DiVincenzo putting up 30, he wasn't even creating his own shot a single one of those plays. It's all Jalen Brunson kicking it out and him just knocking down the shot, which is special, but, you know, they need somebody to help relieve the load for Jalen Brunson.
Well, I mean, the only reason he had more of a load in that situation was, like you said, you know, Randle got injured. So, Julius Randle being injured took, like, that puts a lot more pressure on Brunson. But I was just going to bring up, you know, my boy Josh Hart. Mm-hmm. You know, his dirty work and just his – he could go get a bucket in that playoff series, too. Because he was a big part of, like, even in the Pacers run, like, when they were in Game 7, he had a couple shots to tie the game up, even though they lost. But, you know.
It was still a great game. Competitive to the end.
Yeah, I think that another key part of, you know, the helping Jalen Brunson, you know, they Knicks decided to trade away RJ Barrett and acquire OG Anunoby, which I think actually did work out for them. It provides them a defensive spark, and Ananobi's kind of getting used to his role.
And just re-signed him, too.
They just re-signed him, and they also, one of their biggest offseason moves, trading for Mikal Bridges.
Oh, yes.
Which is huge because I think Mikal Bridges is a really underrated player. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. And I think, I mean, obviously him and Brunson have chemistry from Villanova. Add Josh Hart to the mix. I mean, they have a lot. And DiVincenzo, they have a lot of, you know, Villanova on that roster. So I think that'll be interesting to see.
The starting five, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, Julius Randle. And then at that five, I forgot about Mikal Bridges, then Julius Randle.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they'll put Mikal at the four, or they'll probably put Josh at the four because that makes more sense with his play style. But we're going to get to the Nets later, but I was telling, like, Nets fans, I was like, someone is going to overpay for Mikal Bridges because, like y'all said, he's kind of like that Drew Holiday. He's going to fit in any scheme. He's going to help you. He's going to help you win now, you know, as a dynamic wing, can play both ways, can shoot the ball. You know, we saw at the Nets, he's able to score, you know, create his own shot, and someone is willing to overpay for him. And it so happened that the Knicks, like you said, reuniting the Villanova four, they happened to give him a plethora of picks. So, but I think it was a good move for the Knicks. Like you said, they re-signed OG Anunoby, got Mikal Bridges, re-signed Precious Achiuwa, and then the only thing, or they got Jalen Brunson for a steal, too. I mean, managed to, because he offered to give up money and stuff for the betterment of the team to sign guys like Mikal Bridges. I mean, what do y'all think about that with his sacrifice to the team? Because, I mean, he was eligible for a max contract, and he was willing to give millions of dollars.
I think that shows
team.
That he values a championship and mm-hmm. values wanting to compete for a championship and wants to bring one to the Knicks franchise, who has gone a long time, safe to say, without a trophy. So, you know, I think it's tough because, you know, you look at this Knicks team and there's a lot to like, but then you also think about what conference they're in.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the Eastern Conference, and we know who's in that conference, the Boston Celtics.
Just talking about them.
And the Bucks.
And I think that a lot of people are kind of forgetting about the Bucks because, you know, of what that Pacers series. But let's not forget Giannis Antetokounmpo
was not in that game.
So there's a lot to like about the Knicks, but it's also a little concerning considering I don't think their roster, while being really good, I don't think it competes with the Boston Celtics.
And one thing to account, they did lose Isaiah Hartenstein.
That was huge. That's actually really
OKC Thunder,
they did.
Which has just given a young team even more fuel. They got Alex Caruso, too.
That Thunder team, man.
Yeah, they're scary. And Isaiah Hartenstein came up really big, getting so many defensive, offensive rebounds, being a beast on the glass. So, I mean, not being able to have him as a crutch almost as – they did on offense for Jalen Brunson. I mean, he was as much of a crutch as Jalen Brunson was for him. I mean, the amount of offensive rebounds was it was ridiculous. I mean, he was getting double digits off of offensive rebounds, and It's pretty insane to watch. So definitely not having him is tough. They still got Precious Achiuwa, Mitchell Robinson, so they can make do. And obviously with the returning of Julius Randle, hopefully he can stay healthy. So, I mean, honestly, I got no complaints. I think they're looking really, really solid. And I know they got some guys from the draft. France, they got Pace Diatty. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And then they got a solid point guard from Marquette, Tyler Kolek.
I think he's going to be really good.
I remember watching him in college and just the type of playmaker he can be. He could be a great backup point guard for a guy like Jalen Brunson. So, I mean, I don't know. I got no complaints for the Knicks as far as, you know, just be willing to not play so much heavily through Jalen Brunson. But we talked about that with Julius Randle coming back. That's going to help that a lot.
I think that'll definitely take his load off. Because in the playoffs, I don't know if y'all noticed this, but I was looking at the box score of every game, and Jalen Brunson was taking nearly 30 shots a game every single game.
But he has to,
exactly.
Especially for, I mean, Tom Thibodeau's giving him max minutes, and a lot of those guys on the starting lineup, like Josh Hart and Isaiah Hartenstein at the time, are literally solely there just to run around and to play defense, get rebounds so they can kick it back out to guys like Jalen Brunson so we can create. So definitely having some guys coming back and bringing guys in like Mikal Bridges is going to help them out a lot this season. We'll be back after this short break. Don't go away.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the NBA student section. We're getting back straight into it with the NBA team breakdown. Getting back into it with the Sixers, the Philadelphia 76ers. Now this team, this is a pretty intriguing team because they lost in six games to the Knicks, I believe, in the semifinals, Eastern Conference semifinals. Obviously, Joel Embiid was hurt, I mean, the entire game, because it was a big deal for him to be playing at the first place because of his meniscus?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his meniscus. But, I mean, I was kind of an advocate for him playing because if you look back at all the Sixers, like, you know, all the timeline of them keeping Joel Embiid as their main core player and building around him, I mean, it's just been failed attempt after failed attempt. So I admire Embiid's ability to go out there and play his heart out because, I mean, the Sixers, if they don't play their heart out this year or the next year, I mean, what do they got to play for? You know what I'm saying? They're not waiting on anything because Joel Embiid, he's only getting older each and every year. So they're not waiting on anything because he's not as young as he once was. So I don't know. This series, it was probably a wake-up call for him and the Sixers and what they want to do going forward in the future if they want to continue to build around Joel Embiid. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on it, Tribe?
Honestly, like, I agree with your point. Because they need to give Joel Embiid help. I know they tried it with Harden. That was a failed experiment. I'm not going to go too much into detail with James Harden because, you know, we grilled him about it last time. But
honestly, good times.
They got some good pickups to hold on because they got Paul George. You know, that's a brain fart. They got Paul George. They still got to keep Tyrese Maxey. So they got a good core now. They got some good supporting guys, too, I know. They got a good draft, right, coming out?
Yeah, they got Jared McCain. I mean, they got a guy from Adam Bona from UCLA. Is some center from UCLA. But, I mean, yeah, Jared McCain out of Duke. I mean, had a rough start to the season at first. Was trying to find his groove as a freshman, getting his confidence. But then, I mean, Duke's head coach just really inspired him. And, I mean, lighting it up is an understatement. Tied the scoring record as a freshman, tied it with Zion Williamson because Zion Williamson had the record and he ended up tying it with him. I mean, Jared McCain was putting on a show, whether it was in the regular season and March Madness. He was really putting on a show. So I think that was a great pickup for the Philadelphia 76ers coming out of the draft.
I want to I just want to touch on Paul George again, because we have to think about what he brings to the table, because he is a big name. And of course, we know Paul George's like talent just overall as a player and what he's done, you know, in his career. But he has yet to win a championship, though.
Very true.
And, you know, we saw when he was taking over, you know, back in his younger days, he got hurt. So ever since he got hurt, of course, no player is necessarily the same. But he definitely evolved his game, though.
Mm-hmm.
So he definitely still brings something good to the table. I want to see what he can do for the team and maybe if they make a good playoff run. But, you know, his nickname, Playoff P.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he came around last playoffs a little bit. Like, he was up and down, you know what I mean? He wasn't, like, just bona fide, like, he's that guy for the Clippers. But he was, you know, he had his moments. Like, he had more good than bad, I feel like. And even, like, James Harden has stepped up for him. So
they both were up and down in games. They definitely they had really big highs, and then you could definitely see with the loss of Kawhi Leonard and stuff versus the Mavericks, it was kind of just like they're not doing much right now.
But like Paul George, like we know he likes to be ball dominant. Like we know he likes to take a lot of shots. So now that he has that, like the only he has to share with Embiid and Maxey, but other than that, like I feel like they're gonna want to lean on him to, you know, I think they want him to play his game. Like, I think they kind of want to play around him as well as playing around Embiid, because I think that's Embiid's problem. I think the pressure's too much for him at times, and that's why he, you know, when the time comes, he folds. Like, he does good in the regular season, despite, you know, you might not like his game because of all the flopping he does and all the foul baiting, but it works for him, you know.
At
the end of the day, he did get his MVP. Now, he might have cried for his MVP, you know, but he got his MVP. So
he did.
You know, I mean,
he could have got the MVP this year if he would have stayed healthy, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was having a dominant season before he got hurt. So it's really just been health issues with Joel Embiid. That's kind of been the story of his career. But, I mean, when he is healthy, I mean, that guy's just one of the most dominant, if not the most dominant big in the league, at least from an offensive standpoint. I mean, but, yeah, this team, they re-signed Kelly Oubre. You mentioned Tyrese Maxey. They signed Andre Drummond, Eric Gordon. They also picked up Buddy Hield. They didn't pick up Buddy Hield. They've already got – or, no, they lost Buddy Hield.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they lost Buddy Hield. And Nicholas Batum. So that's the downsides for their offseason. But they replaced him with Eric Gordon. They got Jared McCain out of the draft, who's a good shooter. And they managed to pick up Andre Drummond, re-sign Kelly Oubre, who is pretty solid 3-and-D guy for them. And then Tyrese Maxey, they re-signed their star. I think out of the deal they gave Tyrese Maxey, I think they're starting to show flashes of kind of leaning towards more of Maxey than Joel Embiid, kind of going with more of the younger guy. I know people have kind of been suggesting that they need to build around him rather than Joel Embiid. So
yeah, because, I mean, at this point, like, you know, Joel Embiid has this whole thing, trust the process. Well, it's been about 10 years. Like,
it's been a minute now.
Trusted. Like, we need to speed it up. It's almost like deloading, like with D'Angelo Russell, you know, and his playoff performance. Like, are you here? Did you load yet? Are you here? Did you buffer? But anyway.
Funny Laker ties.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm going to get to the Lakers when it's time, man. We're going to get to them.
Oh,
but we're just saving them because, you know, they got Bronny. Like, it's a whole bunch going on with them.
But, yeah, the whole thing, they did not re-sign Buddy Hield. I stand corrected. But Buddy Hield went to the Golden State Warriors. Nicholas Batum going over to the Clippers. So, I mean, yeah, they lose out on some 3-D guys and Nicholas Batum. Buddy Hield, sharpshooter, sniper. He's going to go on to be, I guess, the next Splash Bro in Golden State in the Bay Area. But, I mean, overall, I think the Sixers are moving in a fairly good area. I know people are really concerned, kind of iffy on Paul George. I know you were talking about that trade with his playoff performance as of late. So, I don't know. I think they're starting to go towards kind of the right area. They're kind of in a weird spot right now, especially with Joel Embiid going through his injuries and whether or not they're really going to make him, they're going to continue on and really try to you know, squeeze as much juice out of his career as they can, or are they really just gonna just, okay, we still got you, Embiid, but we're building around Maxey. So they really just got to make that decision, I think. So I don't know. We got two teams left. We got the Nets and Raptors, but we're almost out of time. So would you want to pick up on the Nets and Raptors maybe next episode?
Yeah, that'll work.
That might be best. But, I mean, hey, today has been a great show. We're back. We can't wait to give y'all more and more NBA news. Give y'all our takes on the NBA. And, yeah, I'm just excited for a new year, new show.
Yeah,
it's going to be dope, man. We're the same boys.
Yep. Like I said, it's good to be back. Shout out to everybody who's listening. I know y'all were entertained. And I know we'll see y'all next week. So, you know, have a good one.
Yep. Thank y'all for listening to WVUA 90.7 The Capstone's NBA Student Section. I'm Zachary Elrod.
I'm Trey Simpson.
We're out. Peace.